Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly with you on this Monday morning. We are broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Hope everyone out there had a great weekend, despite the football we had to watch yesterday. After the week off, I was kind of prepared to be, all right, I'm ready to watch another Titans game, and I didn't realize how bad it could actually be again. 16-13, the final. Titans did make a little run at it there at the end, got down into the end zone for the first time as an offense in 3 weeks, and finally were able to tie that game up at 13, but could not get a stop. Texans kicked the game-winning field goal from 35 yards out as time expires to send the Titans to 1-9. Parker, how's it going? How was your weekend?
Same thing as every weekend, pretty much, except for last weekend when the Titans didn't play. Enjoyed my college football Saturday. I was like you. I'm like, man, I'm actually kind of ready to watch the Titans. Maybe they can get it done today.
Right.
Maybe they can look at least competitive. And they did look competitive, but ultimately, they lost. And I tell people my most toxic character trait is being a Titans fan.
Yeah, and I gotta say, if you're kind of on the fence about whether you want this team to lose or you want this team to win, maybe yesterday is one of those days that you feel pretty good about, because you got to see Cam Ward get the experience of leading the team down the field to tie it late, but you still add another loss in the column there to get you to 1-9 and continue to hold sole possession of the top pick in the NFL draft. Still 7 weeks to go, a lot of football left, but the Titans lose again. Now 3 years to the day since the last time the Titans won back-to-back football games. 3 years ago up in Green Bay, last time with consecutive victories, they have won 10 games in the last three calendar years. Rough. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. If you want to text or call, it is a Reaction Monday. We'd love to hear from you. Our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Let's get into Mike McCoy a little bit here and the aggressiveness. We're going to talk a lot about Cam Ward in this first hour, but Mike McCoy, I kind of put it out there on Friday. I said, let's see this team be aggressive. You got nothing to lose. You're 1-8. There's no chance for this team to get back into a playoff hunt. And if you're going to go win football games, you can't do it playing not to lose. And once again, the Titans played not to lose. Before I give my thoughts, I want to replay this sequence from the press conference from yesterday, because I heard Robbie and Rex Road playing this on my way in today, and it is great to see PK and TD just go after Mike McCoy for the reasoning, which he doesn't really even give a reason. I won't spoil it. Here's what Mike McCoy had to say about the lack of aggressiveness when it comes to going for it on fourth down.
4th and 2 from their 28, what will it take for you in the remainder of the season to be in one of those situations and make the more aggressive decision?
Well, you go, you know, like any situation in the game, you look at certain things. What is the flow of game? What type of game is it going to be? And what you think at the time and situation in the game you're going to do.
Every game this season has been the kind of the game where you need more points than the field goals you guys consistently settle for.
Yeah.
Is there going to come a time where you decide, I'm going to go for touchdowns in this game?
Oh, definitely. There's times we talk about it, you know, as the game's going on, as a staff, as you play the game, the flow of the game, everything. You do that all the time.
In this instance, what was it about the flow of the game that made you not go for it on such a, what seemed like a makeable fourth down opportunity?
Because we said at that point in time, if it was a certain down and distance, what we were going to do, and we kicked the field goal.
But, I mean, what's the reason why you decided to, whenever you did decide not to go for it?
Where the ball was, situation in the game, all those things. We said if it's a certain situation, it's a certain down and distance, we're kicking a field goal. And that's what we did.
But what makes you feel like the situation in this game is going to present you with a different outcome later, where 6 points at that stage is going to be enough, where the whole season, 6 points at that stage of the game has not been enough?
There's other times during the game also, regardless of where the ball is, where we say if it is a certain down and distance, we're going to go for it. And that's the decisions you make as the game goes on. It's always, and it constantly changes as the flow of the game goes. Where's the ball? Where's the field position? What direction? There's so many other things that go into it. And we had talked about it, and that's what we did.
If Amy or Mike or Chad came to you and said, we overall want you to play more aggressively and not make decisions like that, but push, would you?
We talk about all the decisions I make all the time. And we constantly talk about it. We evaluate the game. We talk about the decisions I made. And that's what I did.
And are they satisfied with that conservatism?
I haven't talked about today's game yet. So
generally speaking?
So
that was Mike McCoy after the game yesterday. Paul Kaharsky, Teron Davenport, basically just asking for, yes, we understand that there are certain down and distances where you go for it and you don't. But what was the reason for not going for it on 4th and 2? When you're inside the 30, your offense was finally making some headway, and he really didn't give much of an answer there. My problem with that sequence is not even that they didn't go for it on 4th and 2, but they did the exact same thing they did against the Colts a couple of weeks ago, where on 3rd down and short, they ran the ball into the line and didn't get anything, and then sent out the punt unit or the field goal unit. Like, if you are going to run the ball on 3rd down, typically that means you're trying to pick up as much of it as you can, and then you're going to go on 4th. You have to know what you're doing on 3rd down. You have to know what you're doing on 4th down before 3rd down. That is not a decision that is made after you don't pick it up on 3rd down. It should be, hey, it's 3rd and 2. Let's run it with Tony Pollard here. See if we can get it even closer, and then we'll go on 4th down. Instead, it's, let's run it here on 3rd and 2, and then we're going to run the field goal unit out. I just do not get it.
I'm going to be very, very blunt. It is being a sissy. It is being a freaking sissy. You have nothing to lose, and I've been so staunch from the very beginning. You're going to lose football games. This team is the worst team in the NFL. Go down swinging.
Right.
Don't go down. Don't lay down and just give it to them. You're going to lose, but go down swinging. And that's not going down swinging. It's playing conservative football. It's why nobody wants to watch you. It's why nobody in Knoxville wants to watch you. It's why nobody in Memphis wants, because you don't, no one cares. And you're losing fans because you play this kind of crappy football every Sunday. I can't stand it, dude.
Yeah,
I cannot stand it.
I don't get why they are playing not to lose. It's like, hey, sorry, 6 points is not going to be enough to win this football game. You have to go put it in the end zone at some point. And guess what? They did at the end. But how many opportunities are the Titans going to have when they get inside the other team's 30? It hasn't been very often. So I did not get the play calling there to run it and then kick it. Like, if you know you're not going for it, give your quarterback a chance to go get you a first down. If you were planning on going for it, you run it. You can't do 50-50 of both and think it's going to work out. I also, and I know it probably wouldn't have mattered anyway because your defense gave up the field goal at the end, but I would have liked to see Mike McCoy go for 2 after the touchdown there at the end. I know it didn't end up mattering because, you know, the field goal would have won it for Houston anyway, but your offense, again, you didn't score an offensive touchdown against the Chargers. You hadn't scored an offensive touchdown all day until the final minute and a half yesterday. What makes you think that if you go to overtime in that game that you're going to be able to go win that football game? I didn't think so. And I thought you just executed a play from the 2-yard line to get into the end zone. See if you can do it again and take your first or take a lead with 90 seconds left. Your defense had played well enough. You thought maybe you could get a stop. Anyway, that one didn't bother me as much as the 4th and 2. Because I don't understand. You're 1-8. Mike McCoy really has nothing to lose. He's not being brought back. Go out and see if you can make a play. Instead, they kick it. You end up losing 16-13. We've got a couple people on the text line. Jeff from Hendersonville says, why win games? I'm sure Mike McCoy has been instructed to lose. There is no chance that Mike McCoy has been instructed to lose. 9192 says the same thing. Guys, they're making Mike McCoy tank. It's obvious. More picks when you trade that first. Borgonzi will appreciate it. There is zero chance that the coaches and players are tanking. Like, that is not how the NFL works. If Mike McCoy was instructed to tank, I think he would resign. Right? Like, that's how these guys are. If Mike Borgonzi came down and told Mike McCoy, hey, like, we want you to be competitive, but if you have a chance to lose the game, lose it, he would resign. He would not be the head coach. Like, yes, I'm sure that the front office is perfectly happy to see this team lose because you want to get that high draft pick. That is how you rebuild this team. I'm sure that they understand that a high draft pick is very helpful. But if you tell Mike McCoy to tank, he's going to resign. coaches and players do not go into work every single day trying to lose football games. That, like, 5-6-3-3, they're tanking. How is it that hard to see? McCoy can't say out loud, "We didn't go for it because we don't want to win." Mike McCoy is not trying to lose football games. Mike McCoy does not care what draft pick the Titans have this year. Like, that is the furthest thing from his mind, because, first of all, that is never the head coach's job. And also, he's not going to be here. He doesn't care if the Titans trade back and get a bunch of picks. He's not going to be here. So that's what I'm saying is, you're 1-8, now 1-9. Go be aggressive. You have nothing to lose. The team has nothing to lose. What's the point of running the ball into the line on 3rd-and-2 across midfield and then kicking a field goal? It's horrible. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Let's go to our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Adam from Portland is called in. Adam, thanks for calling. What you got for us this morning?
Well, that, and I don't really, and I like Pollard a lot. I really don't want to see very much more of Pollard.
I agree.
Like, I see Tajay being explosive, and I'm like, man, just let these guys. If you're young, and bring up Restrepo. This has to be the week, right? Like, finally bring, I don't care if he runs a 6:40. Like, that Cam has one guy he likes to throw to, bring him up. You know, I don't know, man. I'm over it right now. And this is the question I have for you, because I was thinking about it and it hit me. Had a mild panic attack when I thought about it. What if nobody wants to trade with us? What if we're stuck at one?
Yeah.
What do you do if we're stuck at one? So I was going to see if you want to do that, Jake.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Adam. We're going to talk more about the quarterbacks who could be available later on in the show, because the one guy I thought was pretty secure at being a top pick did not look good on Saturday. But you're right, that is a possibility, Adam. If the Titans could tank their best and go 1-16 and guarantee themselves the number one pick, but if there's no dance partner, they may have to just stick and pick. Now, there are options up there. Like, if you have to take Arvell Reese number one, I think he's going to be a really good player. But does he have the impact on the team that an extra first and two extra seconds or whatever you would get would have? Probably not. The only player that can have that big of an impact is a quarterback. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'll get to all your phones and text messages throughout the show. Again, it is a Reaction Monday, so we want to hear from you. Coming up next, we'll get into Cam Ward's day. I did not think he was very good overall. There were some misses. He had passes batted down, but it was good to see him break through down the stretch and make some plays. We'll get into Cam Ward and get back to your phones on the other side. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly off and running on this Monday morning. Next man up, 1025 The Game. Mondays were made for Maseru. Big screens, bold flavors, and all the football action. From queso to kickoffs, this is how Maseru does game night. Maseru Football Mondays and 12 South. Don't miss a snap. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly with you. Next man up, 1025 The Game. I know everybody is reeling from a tough football weekend, so let's give something away here. Be caller number 3 right now at 615-737-1025 and win a pair of tickets to see the Predators take on the Panthers at Bridgestone Arena Monday, November 20th. 4th, a week from today, 7 o'clock puck drop. That is caller number 3 to win two tickets to see the Predators and Panthers square off at Bridgestone Arena. Titans fall to 1-9 yesterday. And they did have a couple of moments there down the stretch that made you feel a little bit better about the game. The offense was reeling most of the afternoon, but was able to come through at the end. A big 39-yard touchdown pass from Cam Ward on 39-yard pass to Chigakonkwo on 3rd-and-long to set up the game-winning touchdown. And the Titans were able to tie the game at 13 apiece, but the Houston Texans go right down the field. A 3rd-and-16 conversion to Nico Collins that ended up being the difference as the Texans knock through the 35-yard field goal for the win. Cam Ward, he was okay yesterday. Most of the game was not great. He had some bad misses. The Mason Kinsey one down the field on the out and up. You can look at that and say, hey, maybe Mason Kinsey should have looked back for the ball a little bit earlier. He couldn't make an adjustment, but that's a wide-open receiver that Cam Ward tried to make a throw on the run. He probably needs to set his feet and give Mason Kinsey a chance there. Again, you know, you'd like to not have Mason Kinsey on the field at all, which I thought Paul Kaharsky had a very good point on that yesterday post-game of, Mason Kinsey just continues to get opportunities, and he can be a good scout team player all he wants. He can really help out the team get ready for the opponents. But if he's going to be on your roster, which he is right now, he has to be able to make plays on Sundays. And that's not the guy you want to be targeting there. And I think I would put most of the blame on that throw on Cam Ward. I mean, I think he rushed it, and it was errant, and Mason Kinsey didn't have enough time to go try and make a play on it, and that's a huge miss. But the other one, I saw some people blaming Cam Ward for the throw to Kinsey on the last drive of the game that bounced off his fingertips. And was it put in the perfect place? No, but that is a throw that an NFL receiver needs to catch. Like, Mason Kinsey should not be on the field. Titans can't control that their top three wide receivers all got hurt on Sunday. But, man, Mason Kinsey, that, like the guy, again, give him all the credit in the world for grinding it out from being a D3 receiver and carving out what I'm sure is a very profitable role in the league for him for a long time. But you got to find somebody better than Mason Kinsey, because that – in those situations, you want your number one overall pick quarterback throwing to someone he can rely on, and Mason Kinsey is not it.
Yeah, you know how much I love my D3 football players, because I myself was one. So yeah. I think, you know, we got to give them all the credit in the world when they actually, you know, are able to stick around in the league for as long as he's been able to. But I think Paul brought up an excellent point after the game yesterday. You know, it's a credit to him for how long he's been able to stick around, but you have been given chance after chance after chance, and it's ultimately on the Titans for not being able to find somebody better. So this is solely on the Titans, because they've had five years,
right,
to be able to get somebody better, and they still haven't been able to do that.
Well, and I will give the Titans a little bit of credit that five of the six receivers who made their opening day roster were not available at some point late in that game. Calvin Ridley obviously broke his leg. He's done for the season. Maybe we'll never see him in a Titans uniform again. Then you've got your rookies, Chim Dike, Elik Iemanaar, were both banged up. Elik was kind of in and out at the end there. And then Bryce Oliver just went on IR with a knee injury. Tyler Lockett no longer on the team. So the plan you had at wide receiver obviously was thrown out of whack because of the injuries. But you got to be able to find somebody better than Mason Kinsey. Van Jefferson was perfect for that role. When everything goes wrong, Van Jefferson is a fine safety blanket to have, and he caught the tying touchdown yesterday. But you got to have somebody better than Mason Kinsey. We still have people talking about the tanking thing on the text line. 5633 says, Tony Pollard's corpse is out there playing more snaps than Spears. The coach is playing ultra-conservative for no reason whatsoever. They're selling starters for pennies. They passed on promoting Fossil. Where is the proof they aren't tanking?
Okay, let's educate the audience real quick, because
yeah,
nobody is going to intentionally try to tank. If you do, that's probably a lawsuit. By the NFL.
Right.
The NFL is going to come after you. I can promise nobody in the professional ranks is intentionally trying to tank. It's just not going to happen. So let's get that out of our minds. It's not happening. The team just sucks.
I think Mike Borgonzi and Chad Brinker might be trying to set this roster up for failure, right, this year. I think they realize how much a top pick could help this team. That's why you trade away Jarvis Brownlee Jr. and Roger McCreary, and you trade away Draymond Jones when he's putting up better numbers than anyone on your pass rush had throughout the first 2 months of the season. Like, yes, those moves are setting up this roster to not be very good, but maybe the team is just bad. Like, this team has won 10 games in 3 years. Maybe they're just bad, and maybe Mike McCoy, who wasn't a very good head coach his first time around, gets brought in as the interim head coach. Maybe he's just not very good at it, but that doesn't mean they're intentionally trying to lose. 3400 says, McCoy doesn't have the killer instinct needed for head coaching job. Players want to win. Give them something to fight for when the opportunity presents itself. He should be teaching PE at a nursing home somewhere. I don't think Mike McCoy has done very well since taking over, but you're left with very limited options when you're picking an interim head coach. And I do understand the idea from the Titans to pick the guy who is going to have the least impact on the rest of the coaching staff, right? Like, Mike McCoy was an offensive analyst. He was not all that involved in anything going on the team. he can still have those responsibilities and be the head coach. It would be tough to put Denard Wilson or Bones Fossil in that role and have them be able to handle it. I know Fossil has done it before, but it still impacts the team in a greater way than McCoy would. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. It wouldn't be a Reaction Monday if we didn't hear from Trey on our phone lines. Trey, good morning. What you got for us today?
Good morning, guys. Good morning. Hey, I just wanted to say that I know y'all been talking about the fourth and two. I mean, that play that he ran,
yeah,
the field goal. But you have to understand something, that they don't know how to coach. It's like we kind of know that's what they're going to do in those type of situations, and it's all organizational. It all falls from the top to the bottom. It starts with Amy. It starts with Brinker. It starts with Bergonzi. And then it ends up with Cam Ward. And we know what Cam Ward is. I've been saying it all year. I know people that got picked in the 50th round of the baseball league that has been to two championships and has won one. And the coach said, I want you to do two things: steal bases and play defense. He was in the league for 8 years. What is Cam Ward doing? He's not doing his job. It's just apparent he's not good at all. And I'm sorry, but we need to do something. I don't know what we need to do, but we need to do something to win some football games. Y'all have a good day. Thank you.
Thank you for the call, Trey. Always appreciate Trey calling in. I don't know what the baseball part had to do with Cam Ward. I guess saying that he knows people who have been drafted very late in the baseball draft who have carved out successful careers, it feels irrelevant to Cam Ward's development. I love that he says, we know what Cam Ward is. It's the exact opposite. We have no idea what Cam Ward is at this point. And yesterday, I think, was a great example of that, of a guy who still has a lot to work on and had some errant misses. And we'll talk about it on the other side, but I'm a little worried about the pass getting batted down the line of scrimmage. It felt like the Texans said, that's our game plan. Like, if you can't get through to Cam Ward, just throw your arms up because he's going to go sidearm and throw it right into your hands. And he did it three times all in the second half yesterday. Little bit concerning, but we don't know what Cam Ward is. He's a young quarterback still learning in this league. Look around the league at all of the quarterbacks who are having success right now. Drake May is an MVP candidate. Did he start great? No, he had a pretty bad rookie season, but showed flashes. Caleb Williams. There were a lot of people saying Caleb Williams was the wrong pick at number one for the Bears. Well, guess what? They're 7-3 right now. Josh Allen struggled as a rookie. Look at him now. He's the reigning MVP. Jared Goff was horrible his rookie season. He's gone to two Super Bowls. One Super Bowl. Almost went to a second. But anyway, just making the point that we don't know what Cam Ward is at all right now. All you can do is take a look at what he's doing and what's fixable of the mistakes and what can you build on of the things that he does well. He's going to get, at the very least, all of next season. And I would guess probably another year after that. Like, they picked him number one overall thinking that he was going to be the franchise quarterback of this team. And Mike Borgonzi came out and said it a week and a half ago that we believe that Cam Ward has everything it takes to be a franchise quarterback in this league. So guess what? They're not giving up on him. And you shouldn't give up on him as well. Just look at the way he's developing, and we'll see what happens. But
I'm not even going to go after Trey. It's not worth the time. We appreciate Trey calling in despite his absurd takes about Cam Ward. Listen, is Cam Ward responsible for J.C. Latham false starting four times? Is he responsible for the defense just can't stop anything on that last drive of the game? No. Is he responsible for Calvin Ridley getting hurt? No. So there are so many other things around him that are just not working out. And has Cam Ward played good? No. But let's not throw in the towel on Cam Ward.
Right.
He hasn't even played an entire rookie year yet.
Yeah. And I thought there was a lot of good yesterday from Cam Ward. He ran the ball more effectively. I think we heard Mike McCoy say earlier in the week that, hey, we want Cam Ward to not be so hesitant to run the football when there's an open lane. And he had a big run, got across midfield on that last drive. I'd like to see more of that moving forward. But there was good from Cam Ward yesterday, especially at the very end. We've got to see that on a more consistent basis like we've been saying all year. Joey from Gallatin says, Trey is going to incite a riot one day. He is loving the bad guy role, by the way. Yes, I heard him screaming into the phone with Robbie and Rexroad saying, I love my haters. So yes, Trey has taken on the villain role here at 102.5 The Game.
The 102.5 villain. None other than caller Trey.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll continue to talk Cam Ward on the other side. Looking at Cam Ward yesterday and what he's done throughout the year, Mike Herndon from PaulKuharsky.com put out an article on his development. And I want to go through some of the key points from that and also continue to look back at yesterday's performance as well. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly with you on this Monday. Next man up, 102.5 The Game.
I understand. I'm frustrated with him. That's my teammate, so I'm going to support him the same way he supported me throughout this whole journey. He's speaking nothing but the truth. That's something that, you know, myself as an offense, as the quarterback, you know, we don't want three and outs. That's something that we should never settle for. And the biggest thing, we shouldn't settle for punting the ball. We have to end every drive with a kick, whether it's a field goal or a touchdown, and that's got to be the mindset every day. We have that mindset every day, but we got to, you know, emphasize it and be about it on every play.
That was Cam Ward after the game commenting on Jeffrey Simmons. Don't rant about the locker room for the Titans right now. He's tired of sugarcoating it. Cam Ward backing him up there. We'll talk about the Titans and maybe who they were calling out throughout the week. Hint, hint, I think J.C. Latham might be on the receiving end of a lot of those upset comments. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Talking Cam Ward after what was an up-and-down performance yesterday. I think there was a lot of good that you saw, but there also were some bad misses and a stretch throughout the game where the offense just could not get anything going right. And also the fumble again, that's his sixth loss fumble. At first I thought that, was it Will Anderson who got in there and knocked it loose? Yeah, I thought it was Will Anderson who knocked it loose, but if you look back, I think Cam might have been dropping that either way. Which I hate to say it, because that's another thing that you just cannot have as a quarterback in this league. But if you look back at that replay, that ball might have been slipping out whether Will Anderson hit him or not. And that's concerning.
Yeah, there's a chance. And the Cam Ward haters out there are only going to get louder after seeing that.
Right. It is funny, though. And Adam in Portland texted in and said, I keep hearing people make the comparisons of Cam Ward to Patrick Mahomes as far as physical gifts. Can you do me a favor and imagine what life would be like for Patrick Mahomes if he never had Travis Kelce? Because we've seen the drop-off since losing Tyreek Hill. But without Kelce, I think we have a mid and somewhat reckless quarterback, kind of like what Cam looks like right now. Your thoughts? I don't necessarily agree with you, Adam. Like, I think Patrick Mahomes has done a great job of elevating talent around him through his career. Like, look at Mecole Hardman. He was great with the Chiefs, leaves for the Jets, and does nothing, comes back to the Chiefs, and immediately steps back into that role. Like, I think Patrick Mahomes, he would be fine without Kelce and Hill. Obviously, that helped him early in his career. But I do want to make the point of, if you watch a full game of Patrick Mahomes, like, Titans fans who do not like Cam Ward, go watch a full game of Patrick Mahomes. And he has misses all the time. He missed back-to-back deep throws yesterday. And he had two horrible interceptions back-to-back. One got called back for a penalty, and then he threw another one right after. So go watch good quarterbacks that are widely regarded as some of the best in the league. Josh Allen had a horrible interception yesterday.
Josh Allen had a terrible first half yesterday.
If you're one of the people who wanted Sam Darnold in the offseason, four interceptions, and a couple of them were brutal.
Against big-time opponents.
I mean, made a jump throw right into a linebacker's chest yesterday. Go and look at good quarterbacks play, and maybe you'll call them a bust too. Because it just feels like with Cam Ward, any mistake he makes, all of the haters come out of the woodwork. You know, he misses one throw. Oh, I can't believe we took him first overall. What, we should have traded back. Oh, he's horrible. He's a bust. It's like, there's going to be mistakes. But go watch good quarterbacks play football. They're not always going to be good, but they do it more consistently. And that's what we need to see from Cam. It's not going to happen right away, but you've got to be able to see Cam Ward. He has to be able to be more consistent, but he's going to make mistakes. All quarterbacks in the NFL make mistakes, and it's just funny to see good quarterbacks do the same things Cam Ward is doing, and they're not getting called bust for it. I get that they've proven themselves, but Cam Ward's going to make mistakes. You've just got to see the good things more consistently. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Let's go back to our phone line. Stryker has been waiting patiently. Stryker, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, I respect the opinion of all the callers, but what I would encourage you at the station to consider is asking anybody that's calling in to rip on Cam Ward when they were last hit on the blind side from somebody that weighs almost 300 pounds. Because as Mike Tyson would say, everybody's got a plan until they get hit in the mouth. And for a rookie quarterback to take the abuse he's taken, I think he deserves a lot of compliments for strength, stamina, and resolve. But anybody that hasn't been hit from the blind side by 300-pound edge rusher needs to at least have the credibility of being in a car accident where their car was totaled, or that they've had a root canal without anesthesia, and ask them how much they looked forward to the next set of downs, because I think a lot of cognitive skills get affected by the neurological side of getting your rear end kicked repeatedly. I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Stryker. I agree. I think there are...
My favorite call of the day.
There's a lot of Cam Ward hating. It's all confirmation bias. That's all it is the people who don't like Cam Ward. Is they didn't want him in the first place, and so every mistake they're going to pile on. Cam Ward needs to have a big game at some point. And, again, it hasn't been great, but to give up on a first overall pick quarterback, I mean, it started like six games into his career, is just insane for me. Like, where is the nuance in this fan base of, hey, he doesn't have to already be the franchise quarterback, but he's also not already a bust. It's somewhere in between. We'll see which way it goes up and down throughout his career, but the people asking for Will Levis to be in an open competition with Cam Ward next year, it's nonsense. It is complete and utter nonsense. John, thank you for the text. I did say Patrick Mahomes drop off after losing Hill. He says that's what we call winning two Super Bowls without Hill. I want to clarify, I mean statistically, like he had 50 touchdown seasons when he had Tyreek Hill. Like that was a much more dynamic offense. Obviously, he's a winner and he finds ways to win in January, but he's not putting up ridiculous statistical numbers like he was when he had Kelsey and Tyreek Hill. 615-737-1025. Let's go back to the phone lines. Rich has called in. Rich, thanks for calling. What's up?
Yeah, how you guys doing?
Doing
hey,
well.
I'm a PSL owner for 25 years. I just think this whole team's a dumpster fire. I agree with the previous caller. You know, when you got 300 pounders coming at you, I can see that reason why. Cam's mechanics, he just looks off back there, and I can understand, you know, you got linemen coming after him, you got an offensive line that can't block for him. Just to recap, I just think this is the worst Titans team I've seen. It's not even close, and I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Yeah, no, you're probably right, Rich. This team is historically bad. I mean, in terms of point differential and you're 1-9. Like the Titans haven't. They've had a couple of really bad seasons. You went 2-14 one year. You've gone 3-13. This one is just right up there with them. It's been horrible. And with Cam Ward, I agree. There are some mechanical issues that I think you need to look at. He drops his arm sometimes when he's throwing. That makes him sail the passes. You know, the sidearm delivery gets the passes batted down. The footwork has been an issue. Certainly, there are mechanical issues that Cam Ward has to sort out, but he's a rookie, 10 games in. Give him an offseason to try and work on some of that stuff, because honestly, when you're in the middle of it, I'm sure it's hard to actually make significant changes to the habits that you have. It's just good for him to get the experience playing at NFL football right now, and you hope to continue to see development. Lance in the YouTube chat says, that's terrible. The difference between good quarterbacks and Cam is they are good quarterbacks. Cam isn't. That's not the point I'm trying to make. Cam obviously has to show that he can be a consistently good player. The point I'm trying to make is Titans fans hyper-focus in on every mistake Cam Ward makes and acts like other quarterbacks don't make them. Like, Cam missed an open receiver yesterday in Mason Kinsey that should have been a big play to set up a touchdown. But Patrick Mahomes missed two deep balls and threw two horrible picks. Like, good quarterbacks make bad plays. Cam Ward has not made enough good plays, but we can't hyper-focus and put a microscope on every play Cam Ward makes when it's all going to be an accumulation of what he does and the development. He's going to learn. He's going to get better. He's not a bust just because he misses a couple of throws or fumbles the ball or throws an interception. Guys make mistakes. Cam's got to do more of the good stuff, but you can't call him a bust just because one play doesn't go well. Like, he has shown plenty of promise, and we're going to get into some of the development stuff after this. I mentioned Mike Herndon on PaulKaharsky.com wrote a great article taking stock of where Cam Ward is. Can you see the trend line going up and how he compares to other young quarterbacks who have come out over the last 10 years? We'll talk about it coming up next. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe will be broadcasting right after us live at the all-new Circus Sportsbook Kentucky in the Mint Gaming Hall today prior to the Monday Night Football game. Today's Monday Night Football game is the Cowboys and the Raiders. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Looking back at Cam Ward's day yesterday, there was good, better running, scrambled for almost a 20-yard gain, 20-plus yard gain on that last drive to help set up the Titans' game-tying touchdown, made a great throw on third down to Chigakonkwo, and then made the play to Van Jefferson to get in the end zone, but also a lot of bad. Missed Mason Kinsey for what would have been a huge play on an out and up down the sideline. He had three passes batted down at the line of scrimmage. There were struggles from Cam Ward yesterday, too. Too many misses, but good to see that breakthrough at the very end. I do wonder if we don't see the consistency yet this year with an interim head coach in there, if it's ever going to happen this season, and it might just take an offseason and a new head coach. And that brings me into Mike Herndon's article on PaulKaharsky.com. If you haven't read it yet, go over there. It is where Cam Ward currently stands for the Titans. And Mike Herndon did a great job of splitting up the first nine games into three different sectors. First 3 weeks, which were Brian Callahan as the head coach, with Bo Hardigree not as the play caller. Then 4 through 6, Callahan's still there, but Hardigree calling plays. And then post-Brian Callahan, weeks 7 through 9. This came out before the game yesterday. And you can look and see the tangible progress he's making statistically. You've got almost a 10% bump in completion percentage, which is something that was a big concern early on in the year when he was completing 53, 54% of his passes through the first 4 or 5 weeks. It wasn't good. He's now up into the 65% range over the last 4 weeks. The yards per attempt have gone up 2 full yards, basically, since the beginning of the year. So you're seeing tangible growth. It's got to continue, but at the very least, he's starting to become a little bit more efficient, I guess is a good way to put it. When you're completing 54% of your passes for 5 yards per attempt, you're not going to win a lot of football games. Your offense isn't going to move very well. It's starting to get better, even with some major concerns. Of course, the offense isn't scoring enough points, and the turnovers have been an issue as well. But the more interesting part of this article is a comparison of the 18 quarterbacks picked in the top 5 picks of the draft since 2016. And a couple of those are removed as Trey Lance and Anthony Richardson did not play 9 games in their rookie season. But you look and see the completion rate for Cam Ward. It's low. It's right around 58, 59%. But it's still better than some guys who have figured it out in their career. And the one I want to point to is Jared Goff. If you watch Jared Goff play his rookie season, you would have thought it was the worst pick in NFL history. I remember watching it because, as Titans fans, everybody was rooting against the Rams to get that pick higher. It ended up being 5th overall. Jared Goff was horrible as a rookie. You look, he had a 54% completion percentage, a 64 passer rating, which is about 10 points less than Cam Ward. He was intercepted at a 3.5% rate. He had a 1.4% big-time throw rate. Cam Ward is currently at 3.2. And his turnover-worthy play rate was almost 5%. Cam Ward's is 2.7. So you look at that, and I'm not saying I want Cam Ward to be Jared Goff, but the example I'm bringing this up about for sure is Jeff Fisher was fired midway through that year. And similarly here, Brian Callahan was fired earlier this season. He didn't look good. Jared Goff didn't look good even when the interim coach got in. But they went and found Sean McVay. And he turned Jared Goff into a guy who could take that team to a Super Bowl. Sean McVay's probably not out there this year. But it shows you what competent coaching can do. And this isn't to bash on Jeff Fisher, because we love Jeff Fisher. Go Nashville Cats. And obviously did a lot for the Titans during his time here. But Jeff Fisher clearly did not have the ability to develop Jared Goff. You brought in a coach who could get the most out of that quarterback. And look at what he was able to do post Jeff Fisher. So that's the point I'm trying to make is, yes, the rookie season hasn't been good, but there are tons of examples of quarterbacks who have struggled. Their coach has been fired in year one. You get a competent coach in, and you can start to figure it out. And that's why this is such an important offseason for the Titans. Not only do you have to build this roster up, because right now it doesn't look good. Calvin Ridley probably will never play another snap in a Titans uniform. So you're running out.
My thoughts exactly.
You're running out a wide receiver core of, as long as they're healthy, Chim Dike, Elik Ihemaner, Van Jefferson, Mason Kinsey for the rest of the season, basically.
And we will see Xavier Restrepo at some point, too. It'll just be late, later.
We'll talk about that later, because I think X's time, it might be time to catch the strep coming up soon with the injuries on the receiver front. But that may be one of the worst wide receiver cores that I've ever seen. The offensive line, they're not awful, right? Like, it's not turnstiles like we've seen for the last few years. But is it good? No. And the penalties yesterday were horrible. You've got to build the roster up. But you also have to be able to find a coach who can get the most out of Cam Ward. Clearly, Brian Callahan and the remnants of Brian Callahan's crew are not getting the most out of Cam Ward. It is so important to go find a competent head coach who can develop Cam Ward. We're seeing it with Drake May as we speak. A guy who showed flashes last year, but overall struggled with consistency. Now he's an MVP candidate. So you've got to be able to go out and find a coach who can develop him. And, like, Vrabel's not a quarterback whisperer. He's a leader who is able to find a guy who has experience developing quarterbacks in Josh McDaniel. So, Josh McDaniels, I should say. Mike McDaniel down in Miami. Maybe he ends up being a guy like that. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 4405 makes a good point as well, that Goff, Amon-Ra, and even Dan Campbell as a head coach were 0-9 until they got to 1-10 on Thanksgiving a few years ago. They were able to build in the draft, and that's an important point too. They also had multiple first-round picks in that 2023 draft where they took Jahmyr Gibbs and Jack Campbell, and they got Brian Branch in that draft. Like, you got to be able to build the roster up. But getting a head coach who can develop your young quarterback is going to be crucial. And we saw it with Jared Goff. We're seeing it with Drake May. Cam Ward probably isn't going to put up ridiculous numbers in his rookie season, right? He's got 6 touchdown passes this year. He's probably going to end up with 12 to 15 on the season, would be my guess. Not going to be world-breaking or crazy record-breaking stuff. But if you can get him the right coach, he can develop through this offseason and maybe get rid of some of the bad habits that we've seen so far.
Which is a big if, because, again, if you're an outside candidate looking at this job, how attractive is it? I mean, you have Cam Ward, the potential to work with him, but you have to choose to work with him instead of being able to draft your own guy. So that's another thing that plays into this. But my question is, who's going to be interested in this job?
Yeah.
Who's going to be interested in working with the ownership? I've talked with several people who don't live in the state of Tennessee, but are kind of viewing from the outside, and they've asked me about ownership, and I've explained to them how it's all a mess. So people on the outside recognize that there's an ownership problem with the Titans. So who's going to want to deal with that?
Yeah, and it's a good point. I think the sales pitch you have is you can work with Cam Ward, and you're going to be able to be on the same playing field as everybody. Right? Like, they have to be able to tell these guys that, hey, we're not holding you accountable for anything that goes wrong immediately. All three of you are going to be on the same level. whether that's Mike Borgonzi, Cam Ward, and the head coach, they've all got to be on the same timeline, and you can't continue to have this revolving door that you've had over the last 3 years. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Let's quickly go to our phones before we take a break, because we're going to get into some college football on the other side. Jeremiah has called in. Jeremiah, thanks for calling. What you got for us?
Man, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to, I know y'all don't have a whole lot of time, so I'm going to try to summarize this. For years and years, I trapped fur for a living. And the first two or three years I trapped, man, I didn't hardly do no good at all. You couldn't get the old trappers to tell you any secrets on how to catch fur, because they were under the impression, unless you catch the more they could during the fur season. And that's what it seems like is happening to the Titans. I'd like to bless them, man. They're having a hard time last two or three years because the people who know better really ain't trying to help them figure out how to trap, catch that fur. And that's what they need, man. They need somebody to open up and show them, you know, what the secrets are to the game and encourage them and bless them. That's what I want to do. I want to bless them so they can catch more fur at them games.
Thank you for the call, Jeremiah. I like it. Yeah, let's see if the Titans can catch more fur moving forward.
Any more blessings would be greatly appreciated.
I think he makes a good point of that it doesn't feel like there's any kind of culture on this Titans organization right now. You've got a lot of people pulling in different directions. That's why the head coach, it's so important. Not only developing Cam Ward, you've got to find somebody who is going to come in and set a culture and get everybody pushing in the same direction, because right now, you can tell, especially based off Jeffrey Simmons' comments yesterday, that they don't have everybody on the same page. They don't have 100% buy-in from that locker room. They need to be able to get that moving forward, and that starts with the head coaching hire. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. That wraps up hour number one. We'll talk more Titans later on in the show, but we got to talk some college football. It was not a great weekend for Vanderbilt's college football playoff hopes. We'll get into that coming up next. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 The Game.